Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 to 32.
When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam had lived 930 years, and then he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh. And after he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Seth lived 912 years, and then he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he became the father of Kenan. And after he became the father of Kenan, Enosh lived 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enosh lived 905 years, and then he became the father of Mahalalel. And after he became the father of Mahalalel, Kenan lived 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Kenan lived 910 years, and then he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he became the father of Jared. And after he became the father of Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Mahalalel lived 895 years and then he died. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. And after he became the father of Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Methuselah lived 969 years and then he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son. He named him Noah and said, "He will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands, caused by the ground the Lord has cursed." After Noah was born, Lamech lived 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Lamech lived 777 years and then he died. After Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Let's pray. Father God, as we approach your word now, we pray that you would guide us through these words of yours to us. Help us to be reminded that your word is living and active, that it's sharper than a double-edged sword, that it is useful for teaching and rebuking. And so, Lord, we pray that your word would speak to each of us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us can be tempted by one kind of food or another. Some of us might be tempted by chocolate and find that really hard to resist. Others might be tempted by our favorite meal, maybe something like a lasagna, maybe a steak cooked just how you like it. Or if you're a bit simpler in your tastes than me, like me, maybe just a simple old bacon and egg roll. But one food that I find tempts me quite a lot is salt and vinegar chips. The trouble is, I've never been able to have just only a few. We have those little tiny packets. They're often in our cupboard at home for our girls' lunches. And you know those little ones, you open them up and you can have a few little chips And then you just get that flavor in your mouth, and then they're all gone. They're just a tease, really, those packets. And so when I go and buy a packet of chips, I'll go and buy the biggest one that I can find. That was the biggest one our shop could find. I reckon there's a bigger one than that, but this is the biggest one. Now, what I'll do is I'll go and buy that big packet. I'll go and sit down in front of a movie or a show I like to watch, and I'll start having a few chips with the intention of just having a few, not getting too carried away. But before you know it, you're halfway through the packet. And so sit there, and what I'll do is I'll move the packet to the end of the couch maybe, or I'll move it to the other side of the room, hoping that will stop me from eating any more. Sometimes I have a little bit more self-control and I'll tie it up and put it in the cupboard. But I have to admit that sooner or later I get tempted and I'll go and get it again. And before you know it, I'll be looking at the bottom of that packet of chips. I will have known that if I kept on eating, I was going to feel unwell, but the temptation of those chips just kept me coming back for more. And by the time I'm looking at the bottom of that packet, I can feel pretty disappointed with myself. I knew that I was going to feel bloated and unwell if I kept eating, and yet the temptation to keep having those chips was burning in my mind. I had to have them until they're all gone. Now, the feeling of eating too many chips or too much of a food that you love, well, the consequences of that only last for a matter of hours. When we give in to the temptation to sin, and when we rebel against what God's word is speaking into our lives, well, the consequences of that kind of temptation can be much longer lasting. Those kind of failures, so when we give in to that temptation, they can make us feel like we're a bad Christian, like we can't ever be good enough for God. It can make us feel like a failure. But just like we can all be tempted by different kinds of food, there are different temptations that we all have, different things that tempt us to sin. For some, it might be the temptation to put our work, our hobbies, or our sports, to make those things more important to us than God. It might be the temptation to live your lives your own way. You know what God's word says, but you reject it and want to live your own way. Or for others, it might be the temptation to look at things on the internet that we know are not pleasing to God. We all have sins in our lives that we find harder to shake than others. And when we give in to those same old temptations, it can make us feel like a failure. But today's passage is reminding us that no matter how many times we've messed up and sinned against God, no matter how many times we've struggled with that exact same temptation, there is still hope, because God has made a way for us to live out the purpose that he has created us for. Now, by the time we get to Genesis chapter 5, we've been working our way from Genesis 1. We're going all the way through to chapter 11. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, had sinned against God by eating the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that sin had not only corrupted all of God's good creation, but it also corrupted every descendant of Adam and Eve, which is everyone. In chapter 4, Eve gave birth to a son named Cain. And Cain killed his brother Abel. And with every new generation of Cain's family, well, the rebellion and sin against God only got worse and worse and worse. And by the time chapter 4 was finished, we were just about depressed. Except in the last few verses, we were given some hope. We were given a glimpse of what God was about to do. As Adam and Eve gave birth to another family line, a boy named Seth. Starting a new family line, and with the birth of this boy Seth and his first child, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Now, I know we all get excited by a good Bible genealogy. There's nothing like a list of long names that don't really mean all that much to most of us. But What we're looking at today is the birth line, the family line of Seth. And as we look at that family line, we're firstly going to see that God has created each and every one of us for a purpose. Secondly, that he has given each and every one of us an opportunity to live out that purpose. And then lastly, that God has provided hope beyond the grave for everyone who puts their trust in him. So let's look at the first couple of verses. In verses 1 and 2, we're being reminded that despite our failures, God has created us for a purpose. Now, these verses are reminding us that we were created in God's image. We are all like our earthly parents in one way or another. We can see some similarities, or other people can see some similarities, a family resemblance. They might say that you look like your dad, or you look like your mum, or you're tall like your grandfather. There'll be some sort of family resemblance. And in a similar way, those who trust in the Lord are like him. They resemble him, and they are able to reflect God's character to others. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about being made in his image. And that's really good news. It's good news because when Adam and Eve sinned, they brought sin into the world. All of creation, including mankind, was corrupted. And so when we read in verse 1 that we were created in God's image, it's reminding us that even though we have damaged God's image within us by our sin, it hasn't been destroyed. Despite all of the times that we have sinned, when we've given into temptation, we are still able to share that family resemblance of God. We are still able to reflect something of who he is. Even though we've all given into the temptation to sin, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're still able to show his love to others. We're still able to follow the wisdom of God's word. And so no matter how much of a failure we can feel like sometimes, God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us as those who are created in his image. Okay, let's look at verses 21 and 24. And those verses, we're being reminded that God has given us an opportunity to live out the purpose he has for us. Now, in this long list of names, there are actually 10 generations there from Adam through to Noah. There is one name that stands out, and that is Enoch. Now, Enoch stands out because he was a man who walked with God. Now, that doesn't mean that the generations that came before him had rejected God. Many of them may have trusted in the Lord, but the absence of any comment about their faith is very noticeable compared to Enoch. In his family line, Enoch stood out as an example of a man who is reflecting God's image and living up to the purpose that God had created him for. Those around him must have been able to see this by the way that he was living, by the way that he cared for those in need, by the words that he spoke, and by what he did. As he reflected God's wisdom and God's love for those around him. And we're told that for 300 years of his life, Enoch had a close relationship with God. At 365 years of age, that's incredibly old compared to how long people live now. But Enoch would have still been a fairly young man compared to how old they were living back then. But his faith in God stood out as a shining example to everyone who knew him. Now, that doesn't mean that Enoch was perfect. We don't want to lift Enoch up on this pedestal and think of him as perfect. But what he would have messed up at times. He would have sinned and given into temptation. But because of the relationship that he must have had with the Lord, he must have been one who kept on turning back to God, who kept on going back to God for mercy. And because he kept on going back to God for forgiveness, Enoch is remembered as someone who took up the opportunity to live out the purpose that God had for him. Now, there's also one other reason, and not insignificant reason, that Enoch stands out. He didn't die. As we read about generation after generation, we read at the end of each one, "and he died." In fact, that phrase, "and he died," shows up 8 times in these verses. There was a clear problem here. As long as these people were living, they would all eventually die. But when it comes to Enoch, we read he was no more because God had taken him away, which of course means that he didn't die. Now, that's pretty unusual to say the least. There's only one other example of this taking place in Scripture, and that is Elijah. You can read about that sometime in 2 Kings chapter 2. Now, these verses don't tell us why Enoch got an early mark to heaven, but Hebrews chapter 11 says that by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. When we hear about somebody who dies in their old age, it's sad, isn't it? But it isn't something that really surprises us. We know that at some point we will all get old, and eventually we will die. But as each generation of Seth's family line would have died, it would have been shocking. People lived so long back then that death would have been so much less common. To put this in perspective, Adam, the first man, was still alive when Enoch was 308 years old. Enoch is 7 generations after Adam. And Adam, well, he was the one who walked with God in the garden. And if he hadn't have given in to the temptation to sin, then he would have lived forever. Because sin had entered God's good creation, physical death has become a part of our lives. And so when Enoch was taken, when he was taken to be with God so that he would not experience death, we're given a glimpse, just a small glimpse of the hope that we can have in Jesus, the hope of life forever beyond the grave. Let's have a look at verses 29 to 32. There we're being reminded that God has provided a hope of life beyond the grave for all those who trust in him. Now, since Adam and Eve had eaten the fruit in the garden, since they had ignored God's word and done what they wanted to anyway, every generation of humanity has been affected by sin. And even though it might sound really good to us that people were living for such a long time back then, God's judgment on sin meant that their lives were really hard. The ground was now cursed. There were thorns and thistles. They had to work hard every day in order to grow the food they needed to survive. And sooner or later, every generation, of course except Enoch, reached the end of their lives and died. The descendants of Seth, well, they would have heard from Adam what it was like in the Garden of Eden. Imagine being able to hear that firsthand from your great-great-great-great-grandfather. They knew what God's plan was meant to be. And they knew what they were experiencing then. So they knew there was something seriously wrong. And they began to look for the Savior that God had promised back in chapter 3. The one who would crush the serpent's head. They long for somebody to deliver them from the struggles and consequences of their sin. And with the birth of Noah, right at the end there, God provided them with another glimpse of hope. Lamech, who's the father of Noah, named his son Rest, Now, Lamech, we heard about a Lamech last week. He was a descendant of Cain. This Lamech is a descendant of Seth. So this is a different guy. Lamech named his son Noah Rest. And then he explained why he named him Rest. He said, "He will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed." God was going to use Noah to save the family line of Seth from the judgment that was about to come, the judgment of God in the flood. God had provided a hope for the descendants of Seth. But more than that, God had provided a hope for every generation that lives after the flood, because it was through Seth's family line that God sent his son. God used Noah to deliver this family through the flood. But Jesus, God's son, delivered people from every tribe, nation, language, and tongue. He has provided us with a hope beyond the grave, a hope for all those who put their trust in him. You see, we were created in God's image, but we have all sinned and damaged that image. But Jesus is the perfect image of God. Now, this is more than just a likeness. He is the exact representation of God the Father. And because Jesus never once sinned, when he never once went against what God's word says, he has no sin of his own. And if there was anyone who ever deserved to be taken to heaven without experiencing death, well, it was Jesus. And yet, even though he had no sin of his own, he willingly went to the cross in our place. He died there in order to take the guilt of our punishment on himself, so that we might have hope and life beyond the grave, a gift that is freely given to all who put their faith in him. Today's passage is reminding us that God has made each and every one of us in his image, and he has given us a purpose. We've been created to be in relationship with God and to reflect him, imperfectly as it may be, the character and love of God to those around us. We see from Enoch's life that God has given us an opportunity to live out this purpose that he has built into each one of us. We all have an opportunity to be in relationship with God the Father through Jesus, to live by the wisdom of God's word, and to share his love with those around us. We see from the birth of Noah that God has provided hope of life beyond his judgment. We see that as Noah delivered that family line through the flood, but ultimately we see that through Jesus. We've all messed up in lots of different ways. We're all guilty of choosing sin over what God wants for our lives. But because of his amazing love for us, the amazing love that he has provided through Jesus, we have hope. God sent his son so that through Jesus, we might live out the purpose that God has planned for each one of us. Through faith in Jesus, we can reflect the image of God much more clearly as his spirit works in us, so that those around us might see God's love and his work in our lives. And even though faith in Jesus won't stop us from being tempted to sin, won't stop us from giving into those temptations sometimes, Jesus' death on the cross means that there is still certain hope of eternal life for everyone who puts their trust in him. Let's pray. Father God, As we've looked at the family line of Seth, we have been reminded of just how faithful you are to your promises. At times when it looked like all hope was lost under the suffering of the curse, you made a way to deliver your people through the flood. Ultimately, Lord, we thank you that you have delivered us, those who trust in you, through your Son. Lord, if there are any here today who don't know you, we pray that you would put it on their hearts to speak to you, to read your word, to find out who you are. And for those of us who do have faith in you, Lord, we pray that you would help us to trust in you, to read your word, and to reflect the image of God through your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.